RNZ Pacific News, talofa koutou tukingo ko Malama Papau Tipole. The sudden passing of Papua New Guinea's Deputy Prime Minister Sam Barcell has resulted in a delay of procedures for the country's upcoming general elections. Barcell, along with his protection officer, died in a car accident last Wednesday, just a day before election nominations. RNZ Pacific's PNG correspondent Scott Wyday says the election nominations have been delayed by the pressure from residents of Barcell's home province of Morobe.
There was a demand by the public from Morobe, certain various sectors, saying that if the Electoral Commission goes ahead with the nomination, it would be deemed very disrespectful. The writs have been issued by the Governor General officially, but the actual nominations have been delayed by at least a week.
The man driving the car, which collided with the vehicle carrying the late Papua New Guinea Deputy Prime Minister Sam Barcell, is likely to face charges of dangerous driving. The Police Commissioner David Manning has released an official statement on the accident, which occurred last Wednesday in Morobe Province, also claiming the life of one of Mr. Barcell's close protection officers, Neil Minor. Mr. Manning says police think the allegedly offending driver, Matthew Barnabas, a coffee buyer, was speeding and under the influence of alcohol. Three women MPs have been sworn into Samoa's parliament more than a year after the country's general election. MPs Ali'i Malemanu Tu'uau, Fa'angasi Ali'i Fiangai and To'omata Leota had to undergo judicial review after an inter-party dispute over their eligibility. Samoa Supreme Court ordered the Attorney General to swear in the new MPs under Samoa Constitution, which has a gender quota allowing 5 seats to women. RNZ Pacific Samoa correspondent Joyita Fiangai Ma'ali'i told Pacific Waves that many view the event as a landmark occasion.
I would say that it's a new era for Samoa, a historical day as well, where three women members of parliament were sworn in. I could honestly say that the feeling is overwhelming. I see on social media where women are just promoting this significant event as well as men.
New Zealand is yet to receive a substantial response from Solomon Islands about its security pact with China. The agreement revealed last month took the government by surprise, and the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, has called it gravely concerning. The Foreign Affairs Minister, Nanaia Mahuta, says there's been engagement at a senior official level over the pact, but no substantial response regarding the detail and nature of it.
Not to the degree that we will feel confident as we go forward into having a conversation in, within the Pacific Island Forum. And in fact, I'm on the record as saying and still maintain that these discussions of Pacific security should be a matter for the Pacific Island Forum.
Nanaia Mahuta says she intends to raise the matter with the Pacific Islands Forum. The IFC is to work with PNGX Markets Limited, the National Stock Exchange of Papua New Guinea, to deepen the nation's capital market and boost access to long-term financing for companies in PNG. IFC, which is part of the World Bank Group, will provide additional advisory services to the stock exchange, including reviewing its listing rules and other technical elements related to the issuance of corporate bonds. The PNGX's chairman, David Lawrence, says it's pleased to have this global expertise to help develop PNG's capital market. He says it's creating the potential for PNG investors and debt issuers to have a well-regulated, efficient and transparent corporate bond market, laying the ground for more investment. Pasifika-owned construction businesses have the solution to provide more housing for Pacific peoples. Waikato Pasifika Business Network spokesperson Rachel Afiaki Taumoipiao says she hopes this year's budget will look into funding Pacific businesses in the construction sector to accommodate the needs of Pacific people such as housing. Ms. Afiaki Taumoipiao says the growth of residential housing in smaller towns will mean a high demand for construction, a sector in which most Pacific businesses operate in.
Housing is a massive need for our Pacifica people, but why can't our Pacifica businesses be part of that solution? Therefore, it would be really great to see a budget where Pacifica can leverage and build and participate in these much-needed sectors that will also accommodate the needs of our Pacifica people.
The Samoa government has started paying a monthly benefit for people who have registered with disabilities. This is part of a $1.1 million grant scheme promised during election campaigns for the 2021 general elections. The Samoa Observer reports that more than 900 people have been approved by Cabinet to receive the new benefit. A representative from the Nua Nua o Lealofa organisation confirmed close to 500 of their registered members received the subsidy earlier this month on Mother's Day. Minister of Finance Mulipola Anarosa Ale Molio'o is encouraging people to seek help from the Ministry of Women, Community and Social Development, which runs the scheme. In a Russian state television show watched by millions, a retired military colonel says the war in Ukraine is not going well. The programme, 60 Minutes, usually promotes the Kremlin line that the offensive is going to plan. In a rare moment, Mikhail Khodorkovnik, now a military analyst, painted a different picture.
We need to consider this in our strategic calculations. The situation for us will clearly get worse. The biggest problem with our military and political situation is that we are in total geopolitical isolation, and the whole world is against us, even if we don't want to admit it.
The retired colonel says the situation is not normal when there is a coalition of 42 countries against Russia. He says it needs to be resolved. The British government says it will introduce legislation allowing it to unilaterally change the post-Brexit trade agreement with Northern Ireland. The Vice President of the European Commission says Brussels is prepared to respond with all measures at its disposal. Here's the BBC's political correspondent, Rob Watson.
The British government is hoping this highly controversial move, effectively threatening to walk away from part of an international treaty, will persuade the EU to compromise over post-Brexit trading arrangements for Northern Ireland. Those arrangements basically leave Northern Ireland in the EU's single market, meaning new checks on goods being sent from Britain, something which unionist politicians say has made the province less British. So the Brexit deal remains the source of major tension, both in British and Northern Irish politics and between London and Brussels.
Defence officials in the US say the Pentagon is committed to finding the origins of unidentified aerial phenomena, commonly termed UFOs. They've appeared before the first public US congressional hearing on the subject in a half century. Deputy Director of Naval Intelligence Scott Bray says the number of UAPs officially catalogued by a new Pentagon task force has grown to 400 cases. He acknowledged many remain beyond the government's ability to explain, and while they had no evidence of extraterrestrial origins, it could not be ruled out. To sports now, and two Samoa players will debut in the upcoming legs of the HSBC Sevens in Toulouse and London at the end of this month. The players are Ati Junior Ati and Nueli Molesi Leitsufia, both of the Lowly E Club. 20-year-old Ati was one of two players called by the head coach, Mulianga Tele Brian Neymar, to join the training squad in Dubai as he anticipated injuries in the highly competitive Rugby Sevens tournament. Also rejoining the 13-man squad is co-captain Melanie Matavau from injury, as well as Steve Onosai and Paul Scanlon, who missed crucial matches of the Vancouver leg of the tournament. There have been contrasting fortunes for New Zealand's Paul Cole and Joel King at the Squash World Championships in Cairo, with Cole advancing to the quarterfinals and King beaten in the third round. World number 5 King, beaten in 4 games by Egypt's Nadar Abbas, while men's number 1 Cole strolled to a 3-0 win over Egypt's Mazen Hisham, and he says the speed of the victory should help his title bid.
I'm very happy to get off in 3. Mazen can make you do some unbelievable amount of work and big lunges, and it can be really damaging on your body, but I managed to close it down today. I'm very happy with the performance and to get off 3 love.
The All Blacks Sevens coach, Clark Laidlaw, has called on World Series organisers to standardise tournament schedules. He says having different length and format events throughout the season makes it more difficult to prepare, not only for the World Series events tournaments, but also major events such as this year's Commonwealth Games and World Cup.
So it's one of the frustrations for coaches and players that we find we've just got to adapt to each of them, and then the Com Games is slightly different and the World Cup's different again. So it's something I think if if we could tidy that up as a World Series and give it more consistency to what these tournaments look like, would be nice.
The All Black Sevens play the next two World Series events starting in Toulouse this weekend before the Commonwealth Games, which start in July. That's news and sport on RNZ Pacific. You can read and listen to more online at rnzi.com.